conversation continues on the bench on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
Offensively, never really got things going. We're able to, to get Damon involved, more involved this week. But passing game-wise, there were plays that we left out on the football field.
All right, welcome back here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. So did Damian hit the numbers? 15 carries, 69 yards, 4.6 yards per carry.
Oh, that's right. Let me see. Because that was my over-unders that I set for Damian Pierce. Damian Pierce was... I had the over-under on carries was 15. The over-under on yards was 65.5. I'd say I was pretty close on that.
He actually ran hard. It wasn't so bad. Actually, I thought he was pretty good. I thought he was pretty 4.6 yards of carry. That ain't bad. That's just not. I mean, just give him the ball more. Give him the ball. Get Rex Burkhead. I mean, I don't want this to turn into Rex Burkhead season. You know, he's the Dave Clark. It's not Rex Burkhead's fault that this offense is doing what it is. But there's no reason to have Rex Burkhead on the field. I mean, can we stop with the Patriots? Can we stop? You got to have a white running back out. Davis Mills, Tom Brady ain't walking through that door. Davis Mills ain't Tom Brady. He ain't making that white guy really, really good. Because Tom Brady can make anybody really, really good. Davis Mills ain't.
Can Tom Brady make black players good too?
Yeah, he made them look good too. He makes everybody look good, but especially white guys that didn't have a place before Tom Brady made them into a
Rex
star.
Rex Burkhead was never a star. Rex Burkhead was just another Patriot, third down back is what he was. Rex Burkhead is okay at what he does. Can you get better third down backs? Absolutely, you can. But Rex Burkhead isn't really the quote unquote problem. I mean, people would. Trust me, they would love for you to divert your eyes like, we must get rid of Rex Burkhead so all these problems are gone. Rex Burkhead's like, what are y'all talking about? Y'all think I'm the guy? Wait, I'm the problem? Rex Burkhead? Y'all think it's me. It's not Davis Mills. It's not Pep. It's not dropping passes on the goal line. It's not. Y'all think it's Rex still? I'm sorry, Rex. Until you're gone, this is your fault.
It's not, though. But stop putting... Stop already! Leave the kid on the field. He can run. He can catch. Let him do stuff. He's going to be much more explosive.
I got news for you. 15 carries is pretty normal, like for most starters. That's about what you're going to look at over the course of a season. Over a course of a 17 game season, that's 255 carries. It's not bad. That puts you in the top 10 or top 8 carries in the league. So 15 carries is not a bad number to get to. It just felt like I'm to the point where it needs to be closer to 17 or 18 because if it's going to be a close game, you might as well try to you might as well put the ball. You see what happened yesterday with Justin Fields? I don't know if you watched the night game. The Bears started running the piss out of the ball. And Justin Fields just wasn't that good. So they said, you know what? Let's run the ball. And they were moving down the field with chunks. That's how the Texans need to look at this. If Davis Mills ain't going to make plays, John, then let the running game – then try to play defense because the Bears' defense wasn't as good as the Texans. So just play defense. If it's going to be a tight game, just keep it close and try to run the football.
Well, not only them. I mean, Aaron Rodgers doesn't have the receivers, right? Aaron Jones ran his ass off.
Yeah, he ran his ass off. Yeah, he really did.
I mean, you know what? You get the ball. You got a really good player. Feed him. Give him the ball. Let him run.
I mean, Rex had no carries yesterday. Rex is like, how am I catching bullets when I didn't even get a carry?
Davis Mills, 19 of 38 for 177 yards, a 4.7 average.
That's gross.
That's terrible. A 20 QBR, a 63.2 rating.
I mean, come on.
I mean, he was only a little worse than Russell Wilson.
Quick question.
What a crappy game.
Hey,
can
y'all turn to Good Morning Football? Let me see if they're doing a Davis Mills is the solution. Let's see if they're talking about Davis Mills, if the same hype train's running off the track. Now, it's gone. It's been over. Now it's gone too far the other way. In other words, only certain players get leeway and get time. Some players, like, if you're a first-round quarterback, you get leeway. You get time, right? Trevor Lawrence, Justin Fields, they're going to get time. They need time. They need time, which I believe in. You do need time. I mean, I thought Trevor Lawrence looked really good yesterday against the Colts. So you need time if you're a first-round quarterback. If you're a third-rounder, throw you in the trash heap. You're a dumpster fire. Get out of here. But, I mean, the guy has not played. The guy has not played great. There's a reason he didn't go in the first round. There's a reason he didn't go in the first round.
How much of it is too? Okay. Man, you know who's getting the love now? Forget Davis Mills, Tua. It's all about Tua now. So look at those weapons, though, man. I mean, but here's the deal. He's just, I mean, they're just making play. How do you come back from 21 down like they and win that football game? I mean, that is just so much fun. And then we got to watch this. We got to watch 19 of 38 for 177 and no touchdowns.
No, it was a snooze.
Blah, blah, blah.
Yeah, no, it was a snooze. It was a snooze. And here's the thing. You got to keep playing, though. Keep playing Davis Mills. Let's see how he does. Does he get better? Does he start to connect with he needs a better connection with Nico Collins. Nico's got to be a bigger factor. How do you work Damian Pearson? Pep Hamilton, who I don't think has been good up to this point, but let him, you know, let's get a better feel for a rookie and Damian Pierce for your new offensive line. I thought Kenyon Green did some good things yesterday. Let's see how the offensive guys, Hamilton, Collins, Cooks, Pierce, Davis Mills, the offensive line, let's see how it builds because it definitely should get better. Let's see how much better because what you need right now is just answers. And if your answers, if by the end of the year you say, okay, Davis Mills ain't it, well, guess what? You got your first and you got the Browns first. You got ammunition in a quarterback that is going to be extremely deep, at a draft that's going to be extremely deep at quarterback. You're going to have ammunition to go get your quarterback in the first round. So let's find out. Let's keep finding out. But up to this point, arrow is down on Davis Mills, and he's got to do something. You know, he's got to start making plays. He's got to be more accurate. Right now, John, he looks like a deer in the headlights. He's not getting through his progressions cleanly. He doesn't look like, once the ball is snapped, it doesn't look like he has a post-snap game plan. It doesn't look like he's reading defenses quickly. It doesn't look like he knows where he needs to go. He doesn't have the confidence of a quarterback playing chess. He feels like he's playing checkers out there right now. And the problem is, there have been times that Deshaun Watson looked like that. You know the big difference? Deshaun could make things happen just with sheer athleticism and be okay in a game. Davis Mills does not have that same ability to misread defenses and make mistakes or take too long to figure things out. If he does that, it's going to be problems. You're going to have a 4.5 yards per attempt.
Yeah. Davis Mills is playing checkers. Everybody else is playing football, Lance.
Yeah.
Okay. That's what's happening
that's
right
now. That's a problem.
Yeah, it's just, okay, so the stadium is great. I've been there before. I was on the sidelines before, but in the stands, it's really cool. And, man, the sun was just a killer. It, you know, obviously the road team is facing the sun.
What was the temperature like?
It was 80. It was nice. It wasn't too hot. I mean, you didn't sweat at all. You don't sweat at all. But it's just the sun is just beating down on you the whole game there. So, but nice. But, you know, it's nice here. I mean, it's beautiful. We're going to have a beautiful day today here. The fans are nice. It is. Talk about it. I sat right behind some guys from Kincaid. Four guys that went to Kincaid that live in Memorial. Tanglewood, and it was funny, but and I sat next to Roy Lopez's dad. He was there. We didn't get these seats or anybody. I just bought them online, and it just has so happened we were with all these Texans people. We were on the Texan side of the field, so that was pretty cool. I was shocked because I was here after the summer of my senior year of high school. My brother had an apartment in Boulder. And I went and stayed there, and I sublet it, you know, so he could keep it for he went to the University of Colorado. And so I got a taste of what Colorado was all about when you know, I was 18 years old. And I'm going to tell you, this town, it's all Broncos. Now, the Avalanche showed up, and they won the Stanley Cup. You know that, right? The Avalanche won the Stanley Cup. So they were introduced, and everybody gave them a standing ovation. That's nice. But this is a Broncos town. They love their Broncos. Everybody's in orange. Everybody. I mean, you didn't go anywhere yesterday without seeing orange here, and not even just by the stadium. Everywhere. So they're passionate. For them to be booing, I didn't know they were booers. For them to be booing in the first quarter on Nathaniel Hackett decisions, punting or offense or Russell Wilson, all of this stuff. And they were making the jokes about how, you know, $246 million or whatever it is they gave him. And they were, I'm telling you, they have turned on them already.
It doesn't take a brand new quarterback and a brand new head coach. And this is, I've talked to coaches who say this is the worst time ever to be a coach. People have been in the business for a long time because it is, fans are just, people are angrier. Not just, I mean, fans are just regular people. And we've seen it. People are, you have way more fights in the stands than ever before. People are nasty to each other in general, just in public and in a general setting. It creeps into the fan base, and fans are just, you know, I didn't think Denver fans were like that either. That's very surprising, but, you know, people are just angrier now. It's just an angrier humanity, and I guess that's leaking into Denver's football because the guy, Nathaniel Hackett, hasn't even had a chance. He hadn't even had a chance. Jerry Jeudy's dropping everything again. He got hurt yesterday. Russell Wilson's not playing his best football. Now, Hackett screwed the pooch in that game. He was not good, and the decision-making has not been good. But, man, when your honeymoon is one game, when you got a one-game honeymoon, that is rough.
Yeah. Oh, no. I mean, it was very surprising. JJ sitting with the common people. You know he was in a suite. I was not in the suite. I was with the people. I'm a man of the people. I'm a man of the people.
If you had a suite, you would have sat there.
Oh, yeah, if I had a suite, but I don't have a suite. I don't have that, okay? We came like regular people. We're drinking our Coors Light. First thing I asked, turned around, he goes, hey, I listen to you every day. You got your Coors Light? It's like, what are you, nuts? Of course I got my – are you kidding? We're in Denver. We have gold in Colorado's right here. That's why I'm here. Is because of Coors Light.
Were you sitting in a section where the people were at least wearing Golden Goose shoes?
No, nothing. It was the common people, like the Unsullied.
They weren't even wearing Golden Goose?
No.
The tennis shoes that look beat to hell but cost you hundreds of dollars? I'll never understand that one. Give me those super scuffed up shoes that look terrible. How much? double the price of you usually pay? Sold!
Oh, more.
Exclusive. Oh, more. Yeah, actually three times the amount.
Yeah, right. All right, 713-780-3776. You got any thoughts on anything? You are more than welcome to hang with us here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Lance, why don't you get a little kinetics in here?
Nope. I'm not going to do that. I'm going to get some sight jab in here is what I'm
going to
do. Yeah, sight jab.
That's what you're going to do.
Hector Garcia and his crew, 24 years going on, 25 years. Shout out to my man Hector, who's done an amazing job of tightening up websites around the country, not just here in Houston, although they're a Houston-based company, so we love them here. I love promoting people who operate here in Houston, who hire people right here in Houston in the state of Texas. But what I really love also is that I have a company who I can tell you about that are going to get people, they're going to get eyes to your site much more quickly, and they're going to keep eyes on your site as well. They're going to make your website more efficient in terms of converting the eyeballs into business. That's what you're talking about when you're a small to medium-sized business. What can you do to stand out where people see what your work is, they understand what you do? You have to do all this in a short attention span world we live in. You have to do it very quickly. So you need to have a company who understands how to get people engaged with what it is that you do very, very quickly. And they can also, you know, one of the things they'll do is they can do website design, but also they can film and edit videos to integrate into your site. They've got e-commerce. They've got brand creation and social media management. They do all these things. Go to SiteJab. Find out exactly what they do. But the main thing they do is they build your business for a very reasonable price. SiteJab.com. That's SiteJab.com.
This is Nolan Ryan, and you're listening to The Bench with John and Lance on ESPN 97.5. A couple knuckleheads, if you ask me.
The Kings are on the air. This is The Bench with John Granato and Lance Erline on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John and Lance.
All right, welcome back. We got UH Rice tickets, a pair. Will be mailed to the winners. We got a pair of tickets to go see it. UH going to take on Rice in this crosstown rivalry for the Bayou Bucket ticket special. They got a ticket special for the game. Family four-pack, four tickets, four dogs, four chips, four regular sodas for just $96. Go to uhcougars.com/promo and enter promo code RICE4PACK or call 713-GO-COUGS to get your tickets today. All right, at exactly 8:25. Caller number four is going to get that pair of tickets to Rice U of H. We're going to email them to you. Okay, we'll email the tickets to you. So we got that going on. 713-780-377. Speaking of which, I was at the Cougs game on Saturday. It was kind of disappointing. It was a little disappointing that the crowd wasn't bigger. I can understand it. You know what? Got to win. You got to show you're one of the best teams, and they haven't done that yet. So I get it. I would certainly like them to get behind this football team. They still got everything in front of them. They can still win a championship, the AAC. I'll tell you this. I know they lost to North Carolina, but, you know, BYU got slapped. Don't be surprised if Appalachian State isn't the Group of Five representative on New Year's Day. How about – you got the call, RJ?
Yeah, he's on a phone call. But we'll if you get the App State call –
yeah,
let's listen to the App State call. So here is, for those who missed it, so here's what happened. Who did Appalachian State beat? It was not Louisiana Texas, Lafayette, was it? It was
Texas A&M?
No, from this week.
Oh, Troy.
Troy, yeah. So Troy took a safety. Troy took a safety and kicked off rather than punt and force Appalachian State to score a touchdown. They decided to take a field goal. I mean, a safety, and then punt from a 20-yard line, which, you know, gave the ball back to – gave Appalachian two. They still had to score a touchdown, so wasn't, you know, a huge difference. But they did that, and here's Appalachian State. So Appalachian State is fourth down. They're on their own side of the field, I think from the 46-yard line, and it's the last play of the game. Now, remember, this is the same team – that lost 64-63, I believe, to North Carolina. 63-61. Yeah. They had a chance to go to. They went for a 2-point conversion, didn't get it, and in a wild shootout. Then they beat Texas A&M.
Not only that, but they took game day away from A&M. Not only did they take the $1.5 million that A&M paid them, which is, you know, the only ATM that will give $1.5 million. That kid won a scholarship for a year with that sign at game day. But game day, instead of going to Texas A&M, went to App State Saturday morning. And Luke Combs made the picks, and it was great. So they're playing Troy on a day that they have game day there, which game day would never otherwise go to App State. And they're losing with just two seconds left on the clock. And here is the play with 2 seconds left. They're down, I believe, what were they down for? Whatever the case may be,
yeah,
they're down whatever. They need a touchdown, and here's the play.
Three-man rush. Chase going to step up in the pocket. Sets, throws high into the air. It's up for grabs. It is juggled.
What a play!
It is pandemonium. Just absolute pandemonium. It was similar to when Davis Mills on that fourth down against the Colts is very reminiscent of when he made that big play. And Mark Vandermeer, oh no. They just punted! They punted! Tie! It's a tie! Never give up on a tie! You got a chance to get a tie! Tie, Texans, tie! Woo!
Well,
And then Andre Ware jumped in. I told you they could tie. I told you. Lovey with the fourth down punt. Tie. attitude loser game yesterday. That's what you get. You play to lose. You play to tie. You play to lose. That's who you are. That's what you are. Let's just go conservatively. There's a third down. Let's get Jeff Driscoll on the field. Maybe just do a little.
But what about that? Now what? What about that final drive where they drove down the field, Lance? Down seven, and Davis Mills takes them right down the field and hit Brandon Cooks and Nico Collins and O.J. Howard, and they score the tying touch. No, then you would have been, tie. I want a tie. Now you want a tie.
Tie. You would have. How I love is ties.
If they drove down the field and scored a touchdown, I know it's crazy to think that they could have done that. You know, have a clutch drive in the final minutes of the game, and actually, but if they had, did they go for two?
Come on, dude. No, they don't go for two. Lovey doesn't have that in him. Lovey punted on fourth. Why would he go for a win? Lovey doesn't go for wins. He goes for ties. He already told you who he was. He plays for ties.
He would have.
So you play for tie.
Week,
no.
After last
That's not
week,
who he is.
He would have gone for the win.
No, he wouldn't. At what point did you hear Nathaniel Hackett said, I made a mistake? At what point did you say Lovey made a mistake? He didn't. He would tell you, no, we'd rather play overtime. We were playing well defensively. We had some momentum offensively. So we decided to, you know, just go for overtime. No, Lovey 100% will play for overtime there. It's actually, John, fairly unusual for teams to go for two. It's pretty rare. It happens less than 20% of the time. Lovie Smith is not going to be the outlier. If there's one guy that's not going to be the outlier decision maker, it's the guy who punts on fourth and two from across the other teams and literally just takes a tie in the game. That's not the guy with the mindset to go for two. It was Brian Daboll. You know, an offensive guy, not a defensive guy who was on his third stint. That's not the guy who – he's got a way of doing things. Lovey's got his way of doing things already. He's kind of – you know, he's setting his ways.
No, Lovey would have – he learned last week.
Sure he did.
He learned last week, and he would have gone for two there.
Sure.
I know he would have.
Yep. Yeah, I just know it. A whole career of not doing it, but you think now all of a sudden Lovey learned something. Lovey didn't even – Lovey thought that he made the right move, playing for the tie. Uh-huh.
If you can take Rex Grossman to the Super Bowl, you're a great, great, great coach. Okay? Let's just put it that way.
So is Mike Martz a great coach?
Great coach.
Okay.
Great coach.
I mean, because that happened a long time ago also. Remember when Lovey went to the Super Bowl? We were at 6'10".
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. So, just making sure you remember that.
Yes, I remember it. I remember it. Yeah. Then and I was in I remember it. I remember it wonderfully because it was just – I didn't care. You know what? Rex Grossman, you knew that. I knew this, that Peyton Manning was going to kick his ass. That's what I knew, and I won a lot of money on it. So I was fine with Rex Grossman being in the Super Bowl because it made me a lot of money. What about some of the finish? What about the Jets yesterday? How are the Jets and the Giants winning football? How are the Lions football games?
Well, the Lions.
The Jets, the Giants, and the Lions.
Honestly, I thought the Lions were the easiest pick of the whole week. I mean, you got to fade Carson Wentz. Come on.
Yeah.
But the Giants now 2-0. Your Texans are 0-1-1. They did play for that tie, so that's good. Colts 0-1-1. Jaguars 1-1, although, you know, they had an 8-point lead in Washington. You know, they could be sitting there 2-0 right now. You got the Titans who lost last week because of Fat Randy. They go today and they'll take their second loss against Buffalo. Just a terrible division. Just a terrible division. The Texans are right now, let's be real, the Texans are right there in the thick of things in the AFC South. They really are. Now, the Jets, I felt good for Robert Saleh. I've got a good friend of mine who is the assistant GM for the Jets. I felt really good for those teams. For that team, I also feel really good for the Browns losing. Because we've got their draft pick. So,
but they're awful people too. They're awful people.
They're rough people. There are rough people in Ohio.
So, but my point is this. Okay, the Bears are one of the worst teams, but they won the first week of the season. Mm-hmm. The Seahawks are one of the worst teams. They won the first week of the season. The Jaguars were one of the worst teams last year. They're 1-1. They won this week. The Giants were one. Look at the teams that all drafted at the top. The Giants are 2-0. The Jets are 1-1. The Bears are 1-1. The Seahawks are 1-1. And the Texans?
No, but the Texans don't have two losses.
Yeah. Okay.
No, I mean No. That was the rationale that people made themselves. You made yourself feel better with. I'd rather not lose. Okay, but you see ultimately what it means. You don't care. Now that we're two games in, you don't care about a tie. A tie is not a loss. It, in your mind, it feels like a loss. The Texans don't have two losses, so what's the problem? Because it's not a win. It's not a win. There is no difference theoretically. From an emotional standpoint, there's no difference between a loss and tie there. You're 0-1-1, and it feels like you're 0-2. That's why you should have gone for it. That's why you got to remember stuff like that. You have to take that into account.
Well,
that loss is nothing right now. You're talking about teams 1-1.
And I'm telling you, Lovie learned from that last week, and he would have gone for it. He would have gone for two.
Okay.
I'm telling you right here
now. You have
now.
Literally no history to back that up.
Last week, that's the history I've got. That's
no, Lovie got a tie. Lovie was happy with a tie.
No. You know what? Lovie knows that was a mistake.
What are you basing that on?
By common sense. Okay.
No. But what are you basing?
There's
got to
be a little common sense.
Nathaniel Hackett said, "I regret that decision." Lovie didn't regret anything. He had 2 days to talk about it. He never regretted it.
Yeah. Well,
I think he thinks that's the right move. You don't take losses.
I believe that you even Texans
Listen, John,
coaches.
He's 60 owner, some odd years
they
old.
They can learn things.
He's 60 some
that.
Odd years old.
I believe
he's a defensive coach. You can believe it all you want, but Lovie is a conservative coach who doesn't want to lose. There's a difference between playing to win, like Mike McDaniel with the Dolphins, and playing not to lose.
Boy, what a fun game that was.
Well, it was, but you know, you let Lamar make your decision about going for it on fourth down, and Harbaugh has to. Obviously, it's not. I mean, Lamar wants to go for everything on fourth down. Every quarterback, every player wants to go for every fourth down. This is now the third time that they've taken losses where they could have just played the odds, which are you punt the ball and you make Miami get down the field two different times. You went for it on fourth down. For those who missed it, Miami was down 21 points, 35-14. Lamar Jackson was in the midst of an excellent game. I mean, Lamar
let's
played
do it on the other side. Let's do it on the other side. 7137. We'll talk about all the games on the other side.
More fun than talking about the Texans game, that's for sure.
Yeah, other than the Texans game, we'll talk about all the fun games. Right now, though, I'm talking about Artisan Grange. I was with Wayne and Chase the other day. They're big U of H fans, big Kook fans, big supporters of the program, and they're the guys with the dip, with hemp, no tobacco, no tap, no nicotine. And they are so thrilled with you guys. You guys are hearing the message that how dangerous it is to be chawing. You guys are chewing tobacco, and it's causing cancer. It's gross. It smells. You're spitting. It's awful. Chewing is awful. How you got this habit, you can get out of it, though. And I'm even hearing people who smoke cigarettes, and they start doing this. It's so much better for you health-wise. It's dipped with hemp, no tobacco, no nicotine, and it's got CBD in it as well. So if you're looking for a great way to get out of this gross habit, be it smoking or dipping, go to 975dip.com. It's a great, great alternative, and you guys have responded. 975dip.com.
Get low when the whistle goes. Real fun. ESPN 97.5.
Hey guys, let's talk about my friends over at Gulf Coast Chevy Buick GMC. Been a great ride for us with that company. They've been fantastic, especially the Chevy Traverse. My wife just got into another Chevy Traverse. Has a 39-month lease. I do 2-year leases. And the thing that's great about Chevy is that they've got a variety of vehicles to choose from, including the Silverado, which is one of the coolest trucks out on the market. My favorite dealership, Gulf Coast Chevy, has lots of new Chevy Silverados waiting for you. Right now, because it's truck season, you get a $1,000 accessory allowance toward your lease or purchase of a new Chevy Silverado 1500. Plus, you get a $500 cash allowance. Gulf Coast Chevy in Angleton. This is a chance for you to get the truck that you want, get the accessories that you're looking for, the $1,000 accessory allowance, and you can do that by starting the process shopping at LanceZCars.com. That's LanceZCars.com. Chevy, find new roads.
You found The Bench on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Now coming to you live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
All right, welcome back here on ESPN 97.5. What did you make of the news that Tom Brady is taking Wednesdays off?
I don't think it's good. I think it's a problem. I think this marital thing is a real thing. I think Tom Brady quit. His wife was happy that he not quit. He retired. The wife was happy he retired. And then Tom, like so many ex-fighters, just ex-athletes, they have a hard time letting it go. And when he came back, I think it was not with Giselle's full blessing. And I think now, because there's some issues at home, I think Tom's trying to right the ship a little bit and trying to make do. This is highly unusual, highly irregular. Anybody short of Jordan, LeBron, Albert Pujols, it's something you're just not going to see very often. And I don't think it's good. I think it sets a standard where if they stop playing well, if Tom stops playing well, I thought he had a very average game yesterday against the Saints. You're going to start to have some teammates who, if it wasn't Tom Brady, this would be a disaster.
Oh, if it was Tom Brady, he wouldn't get away with any of this. Training camp, Wednesdays off. It's Tom Brady, so it's different. But, that Saints game, listen, that they won was he hadn't beaten the Saints. So they just have his number. They just know how to play Tom Brady. What gets me, first of all, I don't know what's happening to his face. Secondly,
what do you mean? He's had plastic surgery. You know exactly what is happening.
I don't know what he's doing. But he was angry yesterday. And what was the score? I think it was 3-3 when they had to fight, right?
Yeah.
When Evans and Lattimore fought.
I think it was 3-3. I mean, it may have been 6-3. It may have been 6-3.
Well, it changed the game. Evans was ejected, but so was Lattimore. And then all of a sudden, Jameis fell apart. I mean,
Jameis sucked for three quarters and then had this incredible fourth quarter last week. Yesterday, he was terrible. But, the defense was good enough to win that game. Like, if Jameis could have got something going, the Saints could have won that game. And trust me, I wanted the Saints to win that game. But the fight, as John mentioned, for now the fourth time in their careers, I made a comment that when the book of football is written at the end of times, that it will say that no two players hated each other more than Marshawn Lattimore and Mike Williams. And Houston Texans fans who may not know better, just like, oh yeah, what about this? And it was Finnegan versus Andre Johnson. And yes, those two guys hate each other. Absolutely. I don't think people fully understand how often these two have fought. Like they've already hit a trilogy. They fight on the field. They get kicked out. They fight. They get penalties all the time. This is not something new for them. This goes back to 4 years. You can YouTube this if you want and see all the fights that they've had. Yes, Tlaib and Crabtree was a scrap from hell as well. That was a really bad one. Odell versus Josh Norman, for sure. It's always the two, the diva positions, corner, wide receiver. Have you noticed that?
Right.
Because it's one versus one all the time. You can kind of understand it. Offensive line, defensive line, they're physically taking it out on each other all the time. So it kind of gets worked out, and there's a respect there. Not for corners and wide receivers. But Mike Evans legitimately despises Marshawn Lattimore. And part of it's been because Marshawn Lattimore's played great against Mike Evans for the most part. Mike has struggled against Marshawn Lattimore. And Marshawn gets in his face about a lot of different things and during a game. And anytime he has a chance to when he gets the green light to fire off on Marshawn, he's going to take it. He took it. They were both ejected, which, John, I'll be honest, it felt like more of a Mike Evans type of thing. And frankly, I thought it would just be offsetting penalties. But they were both ejected. Well, that was actually, when you look at how deep the wide receiving core is, and the fact that Tom Brady will throw to Leonard Fournette, that was a big advantage for Tampa to sacrifice their rook for the queen. That's what that was. You basically sacrificed a castle or a rook, and you pulled the queen off the chessboard for the Saints, and Lattimore was gone. And it was a problem after that because you just couldn't you know, other than a late touchdown to Mike Thomas, which was nice for fantasy purposes, Jameis was just too ineffective, and including an intercepted, you know, a pick six interception that sealed the deal.
Yeah, that actually got the cover, and was just terrible. Did you see what Devin White said about Jameis after?
No.
So he said this: when Jameis left our team, everybody knows what he did that last year. We feel like we had a great defense, and then he threw 30 picks. Jameis is playing with four fractures in his back.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's a tough dude.
And throwing three picks for you. It's just, I appreciate. Don't do that, Devin. What are you doing? Why are you doing that? I just saw a story that said, did you see this? Tyrod Taylor is suing that doctor. The one, he's treating Justin Herbert right now. And apparently he's not knocking him out for about 8 games. So Tyrod Taylor is actually, I was wondering when he was going to sue that doctor, actually. The one that took him out and put Justin Herbert in there.
Yeah, I figured it might come at some point.
Yeah.
I mean the Chargers are like, we'll pick the tab up. Don't worry about it.
Yeah.
You got Justin Herbert in there quicker. But how about the game that Tua had? 6 touchdown passes. And frankly, I think Tua's doing a nice, but this is not a mega surprise that Tua is having a better year. You have Mike McDaniel, who's a very I'm watching all these games on my channel 702, right? So I'm watching a lot of Dolphins versus Ravens. I go from that to Texans Broncos. Oh. I mean, oh my God. Between Hackett and Pep Hamilton, it was horrific. And then, you know, watching Lamar Jackson go off, had a big game, and then you watch Tua. But I this is not meant to slight Tua, and he's been hammered by, you know, he's had Joe Burrow and Justin Herbert in his draft class, and he's been getting killed. Tua got some revenge. Joe Burrow has not looked good the first 2 games. His offensive line is not good. He has not been good. Herbert, you know, still has to prove he can get wins and hang on and win games that they're supposed to win. But I tell you what, when you give somebody not just Jaylen Waddle, but you also give them Mike McDaniel as a play caller, and then Tyreek Hill, the most explosive wide receiver in all of football, it was unreal watching what Tyreek Hill and Jaylen Waddle were doing, especially Tyreek Hill late in that game. Tua just has to get it out there far enough, and he's going to end up having a monster year. I thought 24.5 touchdowns was a joke to me for Tua. He's going to have way more than that.
Yeah, and Tyreek, just like with Mahomes, he had to sit on one at the goal line and wait for it, and finally got there, and he got in. But you can't overthrow that. It's amazing how that guy, he is. He's so explosive. What a pickup for them. That's a fun football team. Man, fun football. Yeah, we were watching it here, and then we went to the game, right? We were watching it in the sports bar here, and it's just so great. And then we go to that game. Oh, my gosh. Couldn't have been. Of course, all the early games were really low scoring. There was not much going on in the early games. The Lions puts up some points, but the Bucs and Saints were low scoring. The Giants and Panthers, the Patriots and Steelers,
yeah.
The Colts and Jaguars.
And those games felt like the score looked like not necessarily. One of the games you mentioned had some juice in it. What was the first one you mentioned?
Jets and Browns.
Browns came around. I mean, good.
The Lions
actually, that was the Lions put some points up, and yeah. Here came, I mean, that went over, by the way, but yeah. The Lions and Washington came back and made a nice little comeback, but the Lions just got up 15-0 and were able to, they did get cut to 7 at one point. They had a 22-point lead. It got cut to 7. Colts were terrible, but the Colts also were missing Shaq Leonard. His second game in a row, Colts went into that game missing their starting receiver, starting one and starting two. They missed their top 2 wide receivers, but their offensive line was bad. They got Matt Ryan sacked a ton. He got hit a ton. At the end of that game, he was like holding his wrist. He was getting sacked. I'm just thinking, Frank Reich, you got to take him out and put Sam Ehlinger in. You're not coming back. You're down 24-0. What are you doing? Just getting him. I understand getting Nyheim Hines to over 29.5 yards receiving. However, you got to get him out of the game. And Matt Ryan does not look like the same player. Colts could have some trouble here. Matt Ryan does not look like the same player he once was. You do have to get your starting wide receivers back. That, of course, will help. But honestly, they had better hope Matt Ryan is better than he looked yesterday. And when you don't have your two starting wide receivers, shouldn't you give the ball to Jonathan Taylor more? Oh, for whatever reason, Frank Reich did this again. It's the second time in a row against Jacksonville that he doesn't hand the ball to 28. It's crazy.
Why?
It's criminal.
I don't get it. What? 9 carries for 54. He was averaged 6 yards a carry. Why aren't you? Well, listen, I'm same thing with Pep, though. Damian Pierce is running the ball at 8-9 yards a clip, and then they come out with the next series where every play was a pass for whatever. You want to put this on Davis Mills? You want to put this on Matt Ryan? He wanted to put it on Carson Wentz. I mean, what are you doing? You got Jonathan Taylor and Damian Pierce were running well, and you guys and you're coming out with nonstop passing. That's just it. Just doesn't make any sense. You know what else doesn't make any sense? That liquid death.
Oh, that makes a lot of sense. That makes a lot of sense. Liquid death. Have you seen liquid death? You've probably seen people drinking it. If you haven't, it's awesome. Go to liquiddeath.com/bench. Listen, if you are looking to brutally murder your thirst. Then I suggest Liquid Death. It comes in these tall boys, these aluminum tall boys with like a heavy metal type of font on it, and it looks like something that's terrifying, Liquid Death. And then you see little kids drinking it. You see pregnant women drinking it. You see a pawpaw and a meemaw drinking it. Like, why are my grandparents drinking Liquid Death? Don't you still love me, meemaw and peepaw? Well, it's not about that. Liquid Death is actually refreshing mountain spring water. That's what we're talking about. It's ice cold in the aluminum, completely, infinitely sustainable and recyclable aluminum, as opposed to plastic, which is no longer infinitely recyclable, and that's becoming a big issue, by the way. This is what we're talking about with Liquid Death. You're drinking water anyway. Why don't you drink Liquid Death? It looks hilarious. It looks cool. People drink this at concerts. I've seen it at concerts all the time. The people are designated drivers, but they want to, you know, they still want to get their hydration. They want to look like they're in the action. Liquid Death, I promise you. And it's, if you're the one sending your kids to school with Liquid Death in their lunchbox, that shows what kind of edge you have and your kids have. And I'm the one who dressed my kids up like Walter White and Jesse Pinkman for Halloween. So, of course, my kids are drinking Liquid Death. You can check that out at your local Target, at your local Kroger's, local 7-Eleven. They all have Liquid Death. If you want to find out more about the merchandise they have or more about the product, I highly recommend you go to the website liquiddeath.com/bench to brutally murder your thirst.
You're listening to The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
Right now, I get to talk about the Golden Nugget. I love the Golden Nugget. I really, really do. The rooms are fantastic. If you've never stayed there, it's new, it's clean, it smells great, it's just perfect. I'm telling you, you will love it. The golf course is awesome. The pool, sensational. The restaurants are all open now and great. Cadillac just opened up. But if you're looking for fish, you got the Chart House. If you're looking for steak, you got Vic and Anthony's. You got Grotto for Italian. You got Saltgrass. You got Lily's for Chinese. I mean, it's unbelievable, everything you could possibly want. Now the poker room is open. It's perfect. I love it. You will love it. And then the Sports Kings draft, the draft house, the draft Sports Kings, the Draft Kings sports book, unbelievable, the best. You'll love it. I just got a tweet from somebody that said, "Hey, I'm spending my 40th birthday here." I'm like, "What a great birthday!" Look, you're looking for a great time down the road, 2 hours in Lake Charles. It's Lake Vegas. You're gonna love it. The Golden Nugget.
The godfather of Houston sports radio, the preeminent NFL draft analyst. You found The Bench on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
All right, let's hear from Lovey on Derek Stingley, and then we'll talk about Stingley's game. Here's Lovey talking about Derek Stingley and his performance yesterday.
We did a few different things with him, and you know, he was going against a good wide receiver today. I thought he had his moments where he did some good things. But part of the learning process is to go through some games like that. We kind of challenged him to put him in a few more different positions.
What did you think of how he played?
Davis?
Stingley.
Oh, Derek. I thought he was talking about Davis for a second. I thought he had one play, the interference down there. They called an interference down by the goal line. I thought he was in phase, just kind of panicked at the end. Stingley, I thought Stingley played like a rookie who was trying to learn how to play a veteran. I thought he was okay. The box score doesn't look as kindly to him, but I think he's okay. I mean, I think he's generally speaking near the action. I think he's going to be okay, but he's going to take some whippings this year against veteran wide receivers. Most cornerbacks do. And he's a cornerback who he's not like Pat Surtain, who is coming out as incredibly polished technique-wise. That's something that the last 2 years, technique hasn't looked great and just the performance hasn't looked great. I still think that Derek Stingley is a little bit of a high-ceiling, lower-floor player. Maybe not low-floor, mid-floor, but he's just got phenomenal. He's got phenomenal traits and potential. I think he's going to be okay. Is he going to be third pick of the draft good? That's what I have some concerns about. Is he going to be better than the Texans had? Yeah, I think so, John. And, he's part of a defense that, Cortland Sutton had 7 for 130 or whatever he had. Russell Wilson had one of his poorer games that he's had, and Derek Stingley was one of the guys who was a cornerback. So I think you get some credit for that. You know, it was Russell Wilson didn't even complete 50% of his passes.
Yeah, but on the other and the flip side of that is, he had, I think it was 122 yards on 7 catches, 122 yards. That's a pretty good game for a wide receiver when the quarterback wasn't very good. You know, so I don't.
Yeah,
that's
true. I don't know if all of them were at him though.
No, but the majority of them were.
I'll check on Pro Football Focus see if they have all the stuff out there yet.
I thought he was. I thought he. You know, the penalties are. You know, you're gonna get that with the defensive back. You know, and Cortland Sutton is a good, really good wide receiver, but he's not elite wide receiver. So I mean, he's young, and it's gonna take a while.
Mm. I mean, here it is, targeted 13 times, allowed 7 catches for 95 yards.
Okay.
Not great. Not great. 5 of them for first downs. That's not great.
Not great.
He scored a 32. That's a low score. Had 2 forced incompletions. Needs to be better. But that's fine. The whole Texans need to be better. Although, honestly, the defense, they've had some bend but don't break moments. I mean, the Colts couldn't get it done. The Colts scored 20. Yeah, there was a lot of rushing yards, and the Colts did come. Well, the Colts did come back from way back, so I shouldn't say that. The Colts came storming back with touchdowns, but the defense held up for the most part yesterday. They did their job for the most part.
Other than when Christian Kirksey is in coverage, my
Christian, I'm telling you, he's not a good football player.
They had him. Did Lovey design this? Because they had him on Jerry Jeudy early in the game for a first down. And I'm like, why in the hell is, first of all, Christian Kirksey on the field on second or third down or first down? And then why is he on Jerry Jeudy? Can somebody please explain that to me? Because it's inexcusable that you would have Christian Kirksey. And then he gives up the touchdown, too. So, I mean, that's just – I mean, the defense didn't play bad. I don't know. I don't think they're – look at these offenses that you put. The Colts are terrible offensively.
Well, you can win with how the Texans are playing defensively.
Yes.
You could literally be 2-0 right now.
But
although I don't want to – I mean, okay. I think you could be 2-0. It's not like you were playing there with – you were playing with Matt Ryan and the Colts and with Denver Broncos and Russell Wilson. You're right there with those two teams.
They gave up 16 points. That's awesome. I mean, this was all squarely on the offense, But look at the offenses. This Denver offense is not good. The Colts offense is bad. They got the Bears offense bad next week. So they could, you know what? They could easily be, they could have been 3-0 and they're probably going to be 0-3 after this. I mean, I got no faith that this offense is going to do anything against the Bears. I don't.
Oh, and three.
0-2-1.
Yeah, that's right. Remember, that's supposed to be the difference.
It's a loss to me. It's a loss to me.
Well, finally.
It's a loss.
Finally.
You know, I found out the question was, if a team ties, you know, in the survivor pools, does that team, that's like a loss. You have to win in these survivor pools. And trust me, you want to talk about survivor pools that don't have any survivors left? What with Tennessee losing to the Giants in week one, Denver losing to Seattle in week one, the Colts not beating the Texans in week one. There were any of you that are in survivor pools know, if you didn't have any of those teams, you lucked out, because of the majority, like more than half of these survivor pools are already people are already cut out of them.
Yeah.
Because of those three losses.
There've been some wild things take place already in the NFL. The Browns, I'm sure a lot of people had the Browns. A lot of people were probably just fading the Jets, but here's the thing. I'll tell you this. The Jets showed some balls and scrappiness yesterday. And they don't have, and that's with Joe Flacco. Joe Flacco's a zillion years old. That's with Joe Flacco shooting back at the, he did it before the half and he did it at the end of the game. Then you got the Falcons. The Falcons aren't laying down. The Falcons are not laying down, man. They are playing. They are playing for Arthur Smith, and I've been impressed with the offense at the Falcons. It looked like the Rams are going to bludgeon them, and the Falcons came flying back, and they were not going to lay down. So I just want to see can I just have an offense to cheer for? Just something better than this. I get that their offense was actually not bad when they won four games, but a lot of what Deshaun did was like fourth quarter, like against the Vikings, fourth quarter garbage time stuff. I want an offense that's fun to watch, like, you know, Astros or Rockets when they had James, although that wasn't always fun to watch, even though he scored. But this Texans offense, man, they got to figure out who they are. I don't feel like play calling is all about finding your rhythm and having an identity. The Texans do not have an identity, and they definitely don't have a rhythm right now. And I don't know if it's all play calling, if it's all Davis Mills. It's a combination of the two is what it is. But right now, Pep Hamilton and Davis Mills, they can't find their rhythm. They can't find, you know, where they are just rolling down the field and the defense is on their heels and they're not sure what's coming next. That doesn't feel like the case. And who are the Texans? What are they going to be, John? Who are the Texans? Like, if you said, what do you think the Texans' identity is? If you ask Pep Hamilton and Lovie Smith and Davis Mills, you have all three of them in there. What's the Texans' identity?
What could you say?
Well, I'm curious. Like, I don't know what their identity
is. No, there is no identity.
Are they a run first? What I'm asking, are they a run first offense?
No. No.
They're not? Are they a pass? Or do they want to be an aggressive downfield
passing team?
They
had 36 passes and 18 runs. How can you be a run first team?
Okay, so they're a passing team. Are they an aggressive downfield attacking team? Are they going to be a ball control?
Yes, no. Ball. They're check down. Charlie, check down.
There's a big difference between a check down and a ball control offense.
Well, yeah, they're going to throw it to their tight ends as often as possible because they're explosive.
Yeah, see, that none of what you're saying is an identity. You're that's just saying it's a result.
They don't have an identity.
You're saying, no. Well, that's my point. No, they don't have an identity.
Honestly,
I don't know who they want to be.
Yeah, I know. Honestly, I have zero idea of who they. Well, no one does.
Pep has got to determine this is our identity. Maybe it comes from Lovey, but I just don't think a head coach is going to dictate. Well, head coaches often dictate what your personality is going to be. I already know the Texans want to run the ball. They've already said they want their identity to be a running team, and yet, you know, they've put themselves in a position where they have not been able, or they've chosen not to run it as much as they probably should. But at some point, Pep's going to have to say, okay, this is who we are, and I'm going to base an offense. It doesn't mean that I can't throw the football. It doesn't mean I can't throw the football on first down. It doesn't mean that I can't have a series where I'm throwing the football to loosen up the defense. But at some point, Pep Hamilton has to determine, this is who we are, and I'm going to shape my offense, my tendencies, my play call sheet on short yardage, medium yardage, long yardage, first down, early versus zone versus man. I'm going to create an offensive – because that's what play calling is. People like to just throw play calling. It's just play calling. Well, what do you mean by that? What you have to understand is play calling is how do you attack defensive tendencies? How do you attack the weakest portions of the defense, whether it's first level, second level, third level? Is there a weakness defensively that you can create personnel groupings to match up certain players? Because I promise you, the Colts and now the Broncos have figured out how to isolate Christian Kirksey. They understood, okay, we got to get Kirksey in coverage. That's partially play calling and play design. That's what Pep is going to have to get to. Determine who you are and then create your game plan around who you want to be relative to what defensive tendencies and personnel look like. That is, it's much more than just call this play, call that play. It's an entire install of the offense. You install your offense on Tuesdays. That's your offensive install is going to be on Tuesday, and it will determine who you're going to be.
I'll tell you who they are. They're Rex Burkhead. That's who they are right now. They're just vanilla.
There's Rex going, what the did I do to kick even more bullets from this Italian guy from Chicago
who
eats the super thick pizza?
That's their identity. Never eats it. All right, listen. On Saturday, I was up with the I was watching the game with the Chastangs, and the whole family was up there, and Joe was up there, and Joe's the dad, and Patrick and Meredith and the kids and the brothers and the sister, and it was just so much fun. It's just great. It's just so. So great. And I can't thank them enough. They're just, you're part of their family, right? This is what happens when you join the Chastang family. Now, I don't know that you're going to go to games with them and all of that stuff like I get to, but I do know this. They're going to give you the best in service. They're going to give you the car. So Chase was up there, my boy Chase Hernandez and and Wayne and the 975 dip guys. They came up and they saw Patrick and Patrick and Chase is going to buy a truck. And he said, and I said, now you're going to get it to him for under MSRP, right? He said, every single time, it without a doubt. And you know what? And he even said, there are other dealerships. It's stupid what they're doing. $5,000, $10,000, $15,000 they're tacking on, adding on to the vehicles because they can. Well, they're not doing that at Chastang Ford. You're getting your vehicle for under MSRP when you order at Chastang Ford. All of the order, everything's open. So if you're looking whatever vehicle that you're looking for, they've got it right now. You can order it at Chastang Ford and pay under MSRP. That's a promise at Chastang Ford. ChastangFord.com on 610 at Homestead, not Hempstead. 5 minutes from downtown Chastang Ford.
Well, hello.
To call into the HR&P listener line, dial 713-780-ESPN.
Dial the phone.
Disappointed by your HR and payroll technology? Maybe you need to outsource your administration. Go to HRP.net to learn more.